Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted, your anti-war show, the largest anti-war show on the interwebs. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We got a busy, busy show for you today. We're going to be looking at, President Trump, President-elect Trump, Vladimir Putin, back-channel discussions, our peace agreements maybe in the works. This is going to really piss off the deep state, who desperately wants to push us towards nuclear war. We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about possible preemptive pardons for Adam Schiff, who has been punishing journalists, Anthony Fauci, who made up science during the pandemic and manipulated academic papers to do so. Who else? Liz Cheney, who hid exculpatory evidence during January 6th. We need to pardon them so that they are not targeted by the Trump administration. Okay, that's interesting. We're also going to bring you up updated details on the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO in New York City. Also, did you know that AI can have hallucinations? You should not use it. You should not rely upon it. We're going to bring you some hilarious examples of the media using AI in a total fail for people who are not like us. Poindexters, if you will. That's sort of what I identify with as a Poindexter.
You identify as a Poindexter?
I do very much so, yeah. And I think that most of our chat room does too.
Also, Congresswoman Nancy Mace is going to join us today to talk about UFO disclosure. We're going to talk about that. She will be here. We're also going to talk about the country of Georgia, which is currently under a color revolution. Sound familiar? The CIA loves to get involved in other countries. And you know, it's funny, like the New York Times and other, you know, BS publications will label these people as rebels or freedom fighters, when in fact they are paid. They are paid by, you know, the CIA, or they are Al-Qaeda, as in the case of Syria. But they're called freedom fighters or rebels. So we're going to look at the country of Georgia today as well. So we're
going to once you can see through the matrix, then you see a story about something like a revolution in Syria and you right. think, huh, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm not getting the full story. Let's see if those bad guys are really bad guys. And you just don't accept that any longer from corporate media. So that's what we try and help you do when you sort of sniff out a rat when it comes to corporate media. So we're going to give you everything we've got and do our best to deserve you.
The legacy media is collapsing in real time. So we're thrilled about that because they've been lying to you for so many years. So thank you guys for being a part of our show here every day. Thanks to the tens of thousands of you, the millions of subscribers that we have across all of our platforms. Thank you to making us one of the best and biggest shows on the interwebs. We really appreciate it. And by the way, just an alert here before we get to your main news here. I just want to put this alert out there because if any of you live in Northern California right now, and you are near a coastal area and near the San Francisco Bay, get out now. They've just issued a massive tsunami warning. 7.3 magnitude earthquake has just struck off of the coast of California, Northern California coast. A tsunami warning has been issued. As you know, when you look at what happened in Indonesia and other areas like that, do not take this lightly. If you are in this area, you're near coastal areas in California, get out. Get out now. And you can see here all of the people trying to evacuate in Northern California. There are mass evacuations happening right now in the Bay Area in Northern California. So do not go to Northern California. Get out now.
7.0 is humongous. I'm from that area. Loma Prieta was 6.9.
They've updated it to 7.3.
So that's even bigger than Loma Prieta. This is the earthquake that, you know, most of us who are from there, you brace for this because there's been so much pressure on the fault line. And since there hasn't been a major earthquake in so long, so that's story that will continue to unfold over the weekend.
So apparently we're hearing, okay, so we'll keep an eye on it, but some saying that it was just canceled, the tsunami warning was just canceled.
Well, in Alameda County, it was in canceled. Certain counties, it has been canceled. So again, follow your you know,
local, yeah, your local reports
association
there.
For that, not redacted. This is a geopolitical story, news channel.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got more news to get to. We're going to get to all of your news here in a second. But first...
Oh, first,
our show is brought to you by our friends over at HelloFresh. We wouldn't be able to survive without them. Every day we cook HelloFresh meals in our house because we've got such a freaking busy schedule around here.
So HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. So you choose meals that you want to serve. You can make them in less than half an hour, and they come with a recipe card and all necessary ingredients. All you need to have in your house is butter, olive oil, salt, and pepper, and that's it. They give you the rest. And you choose around your family's dietary habits. So if you're vegetarian, if you're meat centric like we are, if you want organic food or locally sourced or what have you, you can choose and they will fulfill your family's needs. And a lot of times it just ends up being a lot more exciting than what I come up with on my own because I don't use a lot of creativity in meal planning. So it helps to boost that. And yeah, it gives you, I've actually made those things on the right. Those are taquitos, or I think they call them flautas. And it's easy to do, follow the recipe, and it's, it helps you to skip trips to the grocery store where you buy things that you don't need, snacks that you might not need. So right now you can get 10 free meals by going to HelloFresh.com/free redacted. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/free redacted, and add this to your either weekend or weekday meal plan, because if you have a busy schedule and big family like we do, it really saves you. Also, if you have a small family, you can make it and then have this for your lunch the next day, and that's super convenient as well. If you're someone like me who really likes, I really like leftovers. So once again, it's HelloFresh.com/free redacted.
And we just checked on for the tsunami warning, tsunami.gov just saying just moments ago, just now canceling in those areas. So 10 miles northwest of Santa Cruz to Douglas Lane line, Oregon also in the state of Oregon and down there. So check for any updates on that in those areas and where you are at tsunami.gov right now. So good news there, but terrifying. Terrifying when you can see actually all the people right now on the Bay Bridge getting out across the Bay Bridge as well, mm-hmm. leaving. So, okay, but at least people are not taking it lightly, which is good news. Because we've been talking about, like, is the big one about to hit California? There's been a number of geologists who've talked about the buildup of mm-hmm. this for a long time now. So,
yes, you want earthquakes that relieve pressure on the fault line. You don't want to have to wait for a big one like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Loma Prieta. I was in grade school.
All right. Well, we got more news here. Let's talk about this. Russian media just dropped a bombshell about possible peace talks, or de-escalation talks, we should say, between Russia and folks in the Pentagon. So are there smart people in the Pentagon who are trying to undermine the warmongers in the Biden administration? This is happening at the same time, of course, that the warmongers in Washington, D.C. and NATO are actively pushing us into World War III. But it appears, according to reports, that President Trump and Russian officials are separately and quite actively trying to prevent a nuclear war. Back channel talks are happening as we speak. Amazingly good news. So that's positive. We are an anti-war show here. All of the legacy media desperately wants war because that's how they make a lot of money. That's how CNN makes money. That's how the Washington Post makes money. That's how all these big publications make money. They absolutely want that. We don't. Well, I plan to get to that part of the story in a second here. But first, the warmongers in the Biden administration want an escalated war with Russia. They've been pushing for it. They're demanding $24 billion more in order to funnel it into that country, a country that has been destroyed, of course, because of their proxy war. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the de facto United States president at this point, once again is asking Ukraine to lower its conscription age so that children can fight and die on the front lines, essentially. Now, I played you this soundbite yesterday. The State Department is doubling down on this push to get children, basically, well, I say children, but I look at an 18-year-old young boy. I think, like, my son is 14, 4 years away from that age, and Antony Blinken desperately wants these people to go fight and die.
Well, because originally the conscription age in Ukraine was upper 20s. They've since lowered it, right. But it still is not 18 or 21, and so he just does not care that young men go free. He really wants them to fight Russia.
So listen to him say this.
And finally, mobilization. This is critical because even with the money, even with the munitions, there have to be people
on the front lines to deal with the Russian aggression. Ukraine has hard decisions to make about further mobilization, but these are necessary decisions. We have a commitment, though, for every person, every soldier that Ukraine mobilizes, we're committed to making sure that they have the training and the equipment they need to effectively defend the country. And again, that's what we focused on. Going forward, as I said, Ukraine is on an irreversible path to NATO membership, but we're focused on this in a practical way. We set up a dedicated NATO.
Yeah. He's lying. And in fact, Ukrainian soldiers have said that their training manuals are in English, which they cannot read. Also, how would we feel if a foreign government came in and said, we think more of your children need to be conscripted to fight? We would kick that person right out and say, go mind your own business.
But if that happened,
get to say, because of all the money and weapons that we've sent.
If that happened in the United States, the parrot mockingbird media, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, would make a case for it.
Yeah.
They would publish pieces about how that's a great idea that we send younger children to die because they love war, because they're the worst. And Caitlin Johnstone, I think, wrote a great piece about this. She's vehemently anti-war. She's anti-hegemony. And she wrote this piece about this morning. Blinken is pushing for Ukrainian teens to die for U.S. hegemony. And she says, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken repeated the U.S. government's new position that Ukraine needs to start sending 18 to 25-year-olds to fight in its war with Russia, telling Reuters on Monday that getting younger people into the fight we think many of us think is necessary. This comes even as polls have begun showing that Ukrainians favor making a deal with Russia to end this war as quickly as possible. This is one of those things that looks more evil the longer you stare at it. She's right. I thought about more and more about this overnight, by the way. They're pushing for teenagers to be thrown into the fires of an unwinnable war. It's like nothing. Like a corporation saying they need to hire more staff to accommodate their growing business. And why? She says, to tie up Russia so that Syria can be turned into a smoking crater and allow the U.S. war machine to focus its crosshairs on Iran and China, with the end goal of total planetary domination, all because some swamp monsters decided after the fall of the Soviet Union that the U.S. must maintain unipolar global hegemony no matter the cost. She goes on to say, I love Caitlin. She's amazing, isn't she?
Yes.
Just to take a moment here and take a breath, we need more people like her. She says, Ukraine barely even has anyone in the country from the ages of 18 to 25 for various reasons, many of which predate this war. But the managers of the U.S. centralized empire are pushing to scrape out the few they do have and toss them into the landmines and artillery fire just to keep this unwinnable war going for a few more months. Whether they succeed or not, the fact that they even tried is so profoundly psychopathic, it's actually hard to wrap your mind around. Hallelujah. She's amazing.
It's Hunger Games. I know I say this all the time, but this is the Hunger Games. I don't know how you're Anthony Blinken and you advocate for this and then you go home and sleep on your pillow. I do not know how you do that.
So good news, though, at least in all of this. So she's right about that. But go ahead, Philip.
It just like blows my mind that the U.S. is so, I don't even know what the word is, like horrible and arrogant. That why are we getting involved in their conscription?
Because we run the country. So if anyone's sitting back thinking like that they're a sovereign country and that we don't, you're lying to yourself. Philip just brought up the greatest point, which is the CIA is running Ukraine. We know this categorically. They're running that country. The U.S. State Department is running Ukraine. We told you about earlier this week how Zelensky, the dictator of that country who canceled elections and is now the dictator, basically admitted they can't win and peace agreement should likely be on the table. What did we do? We said, sorry, we're going to send you more money. And NATO says, sorry, no peace talks. No peace talks. Those are off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So we are running the show. The U.S. State Department, the CIA, the deep state with the mockingbird media in the United States is running Ukraine. Don't lie to yourself. If you think otherwise, you're an idiot. That's exactly what's happening. But there is some good news because Russia media are reporting that Russian Chief of General Staff Valery Gerasimov held a phone call with the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charles Q. Brown Jr., last week. The Biden administration has cut off all diplomatic ties with Russia, so this is a first sort of a lifeline, maybe, and a first in a long time, and it could be long overdue that they're actually talking and admitting this. Gerasimov said this about the phone call. Said the U.S. side was informed about the exercise in the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea, which we showed you yesterday, launching hypersonic missiles and all of those tests. So they communicated about this. And he said this involved live fire drills, launches of high-precision missiles. And he said this was this was to prevent possible incidents in connection with the presence of U.S. and NATO ships in the area of this Russian exercise. So talking is good. What do we have against talking? At least we know they're having some kind of a conversation.
Kamala Harris had a lot against talking. She was like, no, I won't talk to Russia. No, not without Zelensky.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't. What is Raytheon going to sell us if they're just talking? Like microphones? I don't think right. so. They're not right. going to get their profits.
Yeah. And to the credit of the legacy media, the New York Times did report this meeting and said that they were talking about de-escalation. Interesting that that hasn't got a lot of coverage. It's not trending, right?
Buried.
But it's huge for us that have sort of been clenching our butt cheeks about whether or not our leaders are going to lead us into nuclear war. Can I say butt cheeks?
You can. So Speaker Mike Johnson, he's rejected the Biden administration's request now for $24 billion of new Ukraine aid, basically giving a huge middle finger to Zelensky. And he said that any further assistance to Ukraine would be decided by President Trump when he assumes office in January. So that bank account is closed through Christmas. You're done. And of course, Biden, you know, Anthony Blinken and the Biden administration says whatever we have left, we're going to try to send it there and fast track it as soon as we can. But mm-hmm. Speaker Johnson last night saying we're done.
Yeah,
we're done. We're closing off the teat.
Okay,
no more.
I'll believe that when I see it. But I like the sentiment, Clayton.
I do.
Here's a sentiment I don't like. Politico reports that the Biden White House is considering preemptive pardons for people who may get, quote, caught up in Trump's crosshairs. Who would that be? Any guesses? Here's what Politico says, that it could be January 6th members of Congress like Adam Schiff from California, Liz Cheney, who is from Wyoming, as well as Anthony Fauci. We know who he is because of his COVID pandemic leadership. Okay, why would they need pardons? Because if they do become falsely accused by the Justice Department, shouldn't they have their day in court? Shouldn't they have to defend themselves like other citizens? Fauci, there's just some reasons why I'm not for this. Spitballing here. Fauci, manipulated research to throw off the American public, off the scent of COVID as a lab leak. He did fund gang and function research and lied to Congress about it. He put in place non-scientific measures like 6 feet distancing that he then admitted just sort of came up out of nowhere. Okay. Are those things crimes? Again, that's for a court of law to decide. It's not for you and me, unless you are a court of law. But I don't want him to be preempted from ever answering for that. Adam Schiff, we saw in the Twitter files, punished Twitter for not validating that there was Russian disinformation on the platform when they said we can't find it. He also asked Twitter to ban investigative journalists. Liz Cheney selectively edited an Oscar-worthy movie about January 6th, but excluded exculpatory evidence in her investigative committees. All these people, sure, are heinous. Are they criminals? I don't know, but I don't want them to not have to answer for this if there is some part of the law that can prosecute them. They should have their day in court. They should have to fight it like everybody else. I think this could totally implode our court system. Why would some people have to answer for their actions and others not? It's a total perversion on a partisan nature of our entire system.
Well, Scott Rose in our chat here on YouTube says, what the F is a preemptive pardon in the first place?
Right. So it's interesting because most pardons are for people who have already served their time and you're just wiping it off their record. So now we have this whole idea of preemptive pardons. It's perplexing.
Like pre-crime, Minority Report. You might do this.
You're technically admitting that they're guilty. they're guilty, yes. So let's pardon them now.
Well, that's the thing. Like the presidential pardon power is like, yeah, they can like basically say, okay, you're no longer guilty of these crimes, but there has to be a crime. Like, what the hell are you pardoning? Is it just like carte blanche? Like, you can just go can the president just give somebody like immunity? Like, they can just go commit whatever crime they want and nobody can do anything about it. Like, do they have that
power? Like a monopoly board, get out of jail free card. You just keep it. the whole time you're playing.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Of course, this applies to federal crimes, right? Not state crimes, which is where sort of, you know, rape and all this other stuff that's out there for like Hunter Biden, right? Still would apply at a state level. Like it wouldn't matter at a federal level.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, this would be a severe test of our justice system and our Constitution. I think most people are not for it, except sort of blindly accepting liberals who love COVID and love the pandemic and love the vaccine and love January 6th as a tool, as a talking point. But for the most part, I think we all agree that if they are accused, they should defend themselves. And that's how it should work.
Yes.
So do you think Biden would actually do this? He has so little to lose, but do you think he actually has love lost for Liz Cheney or Adam Schiff that he would do them these solids? Or is there someone inside the deep state that would, the way they sort of forged his resignation letter, do this? I don't know. Let me know what you think.
Well, clearly he is not president of the United States. So we can stop talking about President Biden making these decisions. He's not. He's absolutely out to lunch. He's not making these decisions. Somebody else is making these decisions for him. As we've talked about on the show, we've had a number of guests who said that Obama pulling the strings behind, you know, Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, these people in the White House. So he's not pulling the strings here. Someone else is writing up these documents, and they're like, it's like one of those pens, or like just putting his hand on it, and he's like having to scroll it with a signature, an auto pen.
Right.
Or whatever.
So what it begs the question is, not just Anthony Fauci himself. Anthony Fauci can't give himself a pardon. He may not be able to lobby Biden himself for a pardon, but who's behind him that was making him, who stands to fall with him that might make Joe Biden do this? That's the more interesting question. That's the base layer that we want to get to.
Well, speaking of craziness, fireworks on Capitol Hill this morning. Congress grilling the Secret Service over the assassination attempts on President Trump's life. How did multiple assassination attempts take place to try and bring down President Trump? And how did the Secret Service fail so miserably at its job? There's still at least, like, that I can count, about five to maybe seven, maybe even eight huge questions about what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, when President Trump was nearly killed and shot in the ear just by turning his head. Let's just talk about him right here. The motive for the assailant. Authorities have still not determined why this 20-year-old Matthew Crooks, if that is the actual killer, in fact, or the attempted assassin, actually targeted Trump in the first place. We still don't know that, and the Secret Service can't tell us. Security lapses, how Crooks even managed to access the rooftop here near the rally without any sort of detection. We know that SWAT snipers observed Crooks nearly 2 hours before the shooting, failed to do anything about it. The Secret Service then faced criticism for not, securing the area adequately, leading to the resignation of Director Kimberly Cheadle. Then what about the accomplices? You know, because as Representative Mike Wallace has pointed out, there's no way this guy carried this out on his own. Clearly, they had help. However this was pulled off, there was some sort of help. And he talked about the sophistication of the attack, the assailant's use of encrypted communications. 20-year-old, and he's pulling this off? Really? So who was he working with? The preparations for all of this, the details about how Crooks transported his rifle to the rally site, accessed the rooftop, all of that remains unclear. We still don't have answers for it. What about the fact that the FBI then swooped in and he had his body cremated, or his body was cremated very, very quickly, and his entire apartment was swept clean, even silverware removed from the house? So what the hell's going on here? Also, communications failures. There were multiple breakdowns in communications with the Secret Service, law enforcement agencies. Local police reported that Secret Service did not accept offers to use drones for surveillance at the rally site. They turned those down, which could have provided, of course, critical intelligence. We could have actually seen that footage and seen what happened, but they turned it down. You don't need extra cameras, right? We don't need extra cameras over which to scrutinize them. Why was that turned down? So those are like 8-9 questions. Do you guys have more? Drop them in the chat here. But this was brought up today on Capitol Hill. Members of Congress grilling the current Secret Service Director, Ronald Rao. And it started off with this. Representative Mark Green basically says, you guys were so apathetic at your job that this is why you failed. Watch.
You know, it seems almost to me like it was lackadaisical. I mean, it's hard to fathom that someone would say, we don't need to cover this. You know, and the communications issues with the local law enforcement, I asked the question when they came before the committee recently, when everybody showed up on the day, was there a check-in? And there were law enforcement agencies that had never even talked to Secret Service that day. I mean, these are really basic things. And it you would think they would know to do those kinds of things. So it speaks of a apathy or complacency that is really unacceptable in an organization like the Secret Service. One of my questions to you is...
Then he, then fireworks got even bigger than that. Once he's sort of calling out the lies about the Secret Service here and their apathy, Secret Service Director Ronald Rao and Representative Pat Fallon got into a huge fight when Fallon asked him about showing up at a 9/11 memorial as a dignitary rather than a Secret Service agent at the time. They had a huge back and forth. This was an unbelievable moment. Watch.
Congressman, what you're not seeing is the sack of the detail off out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero. I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. I was there at Fresh Kills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking
there,
you,
Congressman.
Were you the special agent in charge?
To show respect for a Secret Service member that died on 9/11.
Oh, that you're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
I'm invoking this.
You are, sir.
Gentlemen,
and you are out of line.
I would like to ask him a question.
Please.
You are out of line, Congressman.
Don't try to bully me.
Order.
I am an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing
politics. I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you
spent
won't
time
answer the question
on our day, on our country's darkest day.
Committee will come to order.
Do not politicize it.
Committee will come to order.
I'm asking you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Were you the special agent in charge that day?
No, I wasn't. I was there representing the United States Secret Service, sir.
Mr. Fallon, your time's expired.
And did not affect protective operations.
You know why you were there? Because you wanted to be visible because you were auditioning for this job.
I was there to pay respect for a foreign member of this agency.
You endangered President Biden's life,
Congressman.
Vice President Harris's life, because you put those agents out of position.
Mr. Chairman.
Did you have a radio with you?
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired.
Mr. No, I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Mr. Chairman.
I loved that.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
I did, too. So all these questions we still don't have answers to. And again, right now, President Trump has had to take security matters into his own hand, President-elect Trump, at Mar-a-Lago with these like robot-controlled dogs that are like...
Can you blame him?
Patrolling. No, I mean, you can't... This is the kind of incompetence that you have at the Secret Service level right now. And we know a lot of those people were even contracted. They weren't even actually Secret Service there that day. So, a lot of questions we still don't have.
Here's a question I have. Does the president appoint the head of the Secret Service? Is that an appointed position, cabinet position?
I believe
because
so.
Because if it is, we have not seen it yet.
I don't know. I'll have to check.
In which case, he might want to choose pretty carefully. See where I'm going with that.
Yes. Well, okay. Certainly, you want to surround yourself with the prop. That's what, you know, Roger Stone, a friend of the show, and he's been on multiple times saying that President Trump needs to make sure that those people he has around him are hand-selected.
Right.
That you trust those people with the utmost authority.
Yeah.
So I'll get an answer to that in a second. I don't know if he's appointed. I know he has to be approved by Congress, but I don't know if he's appointed by the president.
Or she. We've had a female in there for a while. Well, the shell casing from the fatal shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson reportedly had these words inscribed on them: deny, defend, depose. Well, that is not just the insurance industry's MO, but also the title of this 2010 book about the insurance industry's failure to pay claims. If you're an American or have any kind of insurance, you know that this is how medical insurance works. They are there to make you crazy. I mean, raise your hand if you've cried trying to get a claim paid before. Anybody? Yeah, I cry all the time. Like dealing with insurers all the time. That's just how it works, right? But is that a clue to the motive of this person's murder? Well, the NYPD has released these images of the alleged shooter. The shooter has not been found yet, but online sleuths tracked a city bike that left the scene of the crime. We told you about that yesterday. Now, online, this has turned into sort of a John Wick meets Aaron Brockovich type theory. Some have been celebrating the downfall of a powerful executive for the failure of his industry. That's very Bolshevik. It's a very eat the rich mentality. Former Washington Post journalist Taylor Lorenz, she posted the name of Thompson's successor. People felt like this was putting a mark on her almost, along with some fodder for why the company should be hated for their refusal to cover anesthesia in some surgeries. She has since deleted this. And in a follow-up, she said, well, I didn't really mean for anyone to hurt her. I just wanted people to start a letter-writing campaign to the head of these insurers. So that's so novel, right? A letter-writing. She's like, I just wanted peaceful letter-writing. Okay, but then she also said this, and this one is still up on Blue Sky, with more information about this anesthesia claim denial. She said, people wonder why we want these executives dead. I mean, I don't think wanting them dead fixes the problem at all. Here's another Blue Sky user saying that we should remember Brian Thompson only by his company's claim denials, because United Health seems to be one of the worst. Here's another person saying he has no tears at all for Brian Thompson. He says, no, we should be mourning the deaths of 68,000 Americans who needlessly die each year so that insurance companies like Brian Thompson can become multimillionaires. Here's someone online telling us at Redacted that we're cockroaches for not reporting the company's performance along with this death. I mean, what did we do? We don't promote health insurance companies on this show, you guys. We're sponsored by CrowdHealth, which is a health insurance company disruptor. So I don't think that, you know, we're by no means excusing the insurance industry of their demonic business practices. We are saying it's sad when somebody's dad and husband dies. This is a tragic, what looked like a purposeful hit. And even if he was an evil person, I don't think any of us want to live in a lawless society where people take justice into their own hands. This, according to the Daily Mail, is his family. These two boys now lost their father and this woman. So I don't think that celebrating his death, it will change these kids' lives. It will not change the insurance industry at all. This is nobody's victory. If we want to disrupt the insurance industry, there are ways to do this. We've told you about that. But killing people, probably not going to get you what you want, and it's evil. So let us know what you think of this.
Just a real-time follow-up here. Yes, I just wanted to confirm. So the Secret Service appointee by the president picks them, but I was wondering if they had to get cabinet or Senate approval. They don't. So it's just, they don't have to go through like cabinet approval with the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
They just, so the president can pick like, you know, Dan Bongino as your Secret Service head, but you don't have to get then approval by Congress in that regard. So anyway, good news there. They have to go through the whole cabinet process.
Right. So he can choose wisely, because I can only imagine that Democrats would want him to be, you know, guarded by Ace Ventura.
Hey, Ace Ventura found Snowflake. So, well, the New York Times is under fire from Elon Musk for pushing war and deep state propaganda. The New York Times would love, of course, nothing more than for us to go into a full on war with Russia or Iran, or they loved going to war with Iraq. Of course, push the fake. I mean, I think New York Times is largely responsible for the war in Iraq and the propaganda surrounding that war and drumming up support for that war. Full stop. I think you know that.
They had exculpatory evidence that Saddam was not lining up around Kuwait. They knew that.
So the New York Times loves war. And the FBI, a former FBI agent told me that the New York Times is their favorite place to leak fake stories. Just look at the Russian collusion story. The New York Times worked hand in glove, of course, with the intelligence network to publish fake stories to undermine President Trump. Lee Smith, of course, outlines all of this in his great book, The Plot Against the President, which Natalie and I are both reading right now, actually. It's excellent. And so, yes, they have a long history of doing all of this. Elon Musk, though, tweeted today about this war propaganda and said this: the New York Times is a woke war, is woke warmonger propaganda, which then was shared over four million times. Posting, of course, what Wall Street Mav posted, which says this: is the New York Times the most dangerous news organization in America? It seems like it's captured by the military industrial complex. And look at all these headlines. How to choke Iraq. Bombing Iraq isn't enough. American bombs make Iraq stronger. To stop Iran's bomb, bomb Iran. Bomb Syria, even if it's illegal. That's my favorite New York Times headline. Bomb Syria, even if it's illegal. Bomb North Korea. Oh, what was the other one? Bomb North Korea before it's too late. Yeah, you don't want to wait till too long to bomb North Korea. Just unbelievable how long they've been pushing for.
Too late.
Too late.
Like
too late.
What clock are we racing?
We should have already done it.
Or before they blow themselves up or like, what's the clock?
I don't know. But not only, you know, there's such warmongers and Elon Musk is correct about that. They really hate the United States and they hate the United States Constitution. You can see how many headlines they've written. The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous? One of the biggest threats to America's politics might be the country's founding document. That's right. Here's a whole roundup. Elections are bad for democracy, the New York Times writes. The First Amendment is out of control, they wrote this summer. This summer, it's out of control. How is it out of control? The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous? So in the wake of, you know, the Hunter Biden scandal, of course, they were pushing that story hard as well. And the fake Russian collusion hoax, of course. And then when, of course, that was all exposed, how long did it take the New York Times to actually publish the fact that the Hunter Biden laptop was real?
Oh, they were along with CBS. It was like a full year.
Yeah.
It was, I believe. I'd have to
I think it may have been longer that. Than that, actually, until, yeah, because the New York Post was out in front on the story, Miranda Devine and everything else. But Alina Haba, who is the Trump's lawyer, was at the airport after the Hunter Biden story broke this week, the pardon story, and notice, and she pointed this out. Notice the notice what's missing here from the headlines on the New York Times. Watch.
I'm in the airport and I'm looking at newspapers, and I just want you to take a look at this. New York Post: Hunter gets away with it. Wall Street Journal: Biden pardons son. New York Times: zero from the New York Times on Hunter Biden. Fake news.
Zero. Maybe it's because they were so invested in this story, they can't then just capitulate and admit defeat on this. So you recall after this was amazing when Hunter Biden came out and emphatically said that his father wasn't involved in his financial dealings with his business. Well, here was the soundbite. This was the actual soundbite. Notice if.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business.
Okay. Did you notice? My father was not financially involved in my business. Well, then the New York Times published this, their quote about that press conference. I'm here, Mr. Biden said. Let me state clearly as I can. My father was not involved in my business. Oh, you just conveniently left out the most important word. Mm-hmm. Financially. Go ahead and play the soundbite again, can we, Philip?
I am here. Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business.
Yeah. So the warmongers.
There's a great book that I read over the summer called Bad News, How Woke Media is Undermining Democracy. And she tells the history of American media and how Joseph Pulitzer was making so much money because he was selling penny papers to poor people. So he had massive circulation. The New York Times purposely rejected that model. Even when they had the opportunity to buy his papers, they rejected it because they had to sell to advertisers that they were excluding the working class. So they would refuse circulation in certain working class neighborhoods. They purposely don't want working class people. They are selling the elites their own superiority. That is their business model. They could not sell to Rolex if Rolex thought that people who were, I guess, coal miners were reading the New York Times. This is how they survive. This is how they make their money, is this elitism. So, okay, you know, believe them if you want to, but it's clear that they need to be supported by the deep state. And who are they advertising to? I guess anyone who's watching the show doesn't believe them anyway. So good on us.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people actually have a New York Times subscription? I'd like to. We have, let's see, 40 or 50,000 of you watching right now across all our platforms. How many of you actually would ever pay to have a New York Times subscription? Just curious.
I actually do for specifically what? For the reason of because sometimes I have to pull articles for edits and get
I use Archive for that.
Never read it.
Oh, you should cancel your subscription.
Don't say that because that's tort. We're not telling you to cancel, but I use archive for that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but we can't tell you what to pay for, but not to.
I can't seem to unsubscribe. I can't seem to unsubscribe from their email list because I keep trying, and then they put me on like 45,000 New York Times email list. So they're like, well, this is the Christmas list. You need to unsubscribe from that. You need to. So yeah, but
the Christmas list.
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Our chat overwhelmingly says, no way.
It's like a gym membership. You can't get out.
Divorce. Yeah. Just T says, all right, Philip, you got to get a divorce from the, you got to do it. Most of their subscribers are government offices.
I literally never read it.
Yeah.
It's not like I ever open it and read it. I just have to grab headlines on occasion.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you know that AI has hallucinations, like kind of drug trips? That's what they call it when AI tells you something that's totally nonsense. According to Google's AI model, this is based on incorrect assumptions made by the model. But like, how does that happen? I'm going to show you this hilarious example of it, and then we're going to try and collectively figure out, how did the computer come up with this? Well, this made my week. It made me laugh so hard for about the last 24 hours, and now I can never get over it, and I'm calling my children Hunter DeButts. I want to get a dog named Hunter DeButts. So the View host, Anna Navarro, said that she used AI to look up past U.S. presidents that have pardoned their family members or in-laws, and it came up with this post, which she then felt comfortable to put on her X account, saying Woodrow Wilson pardoned his brother-in-law, Hunter DeButts, and then she goes on to talk about Bill Clinton and Donald Trump pardoning. Only the thing is, you see that community note there? Is that there's no Hunter DeButts. We have no record that Woodrow Wilson ever knew somebody named Hunter DeButts or was related to. It's so funny, too, that she's like, tell me again how Joe Biden is setting precedent with her laughing emojis. And then the community notes just handles her. Hunter DeButts was never pardoned. He's innocent. Whoever he is. So later she explained that she got this from ChatGPT, as if that's better. Here's her post about it where she just looks it up. So it's not like I'm someone with gravitas, I know history. No, she looked it up on her phone and then put it on. So now we know how ABC News is getting their research. Believe them at your own peril. But like, how does this happen? What I'm showing you there is an AI hallucination. They made up Hunter DeButts. The comments on this post, you guys, are gold. It's like people saying, what about Hugh Jass?
Right.
What about D's
nuts? D's nuts. Have you ever pardoned D's nuts?
What about Amanda Hugginkiss? So, like, how does AI hallucinate like that? How does that happen? It says it's taking inputs and then making assumptions, but who put that in? And why Woodrow Wilson? And like, why and how? It's too good. Well, it's too good.
I think the confusion was because didn't you see the PBS documentary on Hunter DeButts where he was actually just a friend of Woodrow Wilson's brother-in-law? So
okay,
I don't know that he got pardoned. Yeah,
he's innocent. Okay,
great documentary.
Right.
Documentary on Hunter DeButts.
Okay. Are you serious? Is there a real PBS special about that?
No, I'm not serious.
No, there's
okay.
Not.
No. So yeah, like, how does this hallucination happen? It should teach us all, we should do our own homework. We should not rely on this. Maybe AI gets me started, but I need to do a little of my own research. How about this week from Esquire? Esquire magazine published this story about how George Bush pardoned his son Neil, when also that's not a thing that ever happened. Neil Bush was never indicted for any crimes. He did settle a case with the FTC over a bank that he worked at, but there was no pardon, no discussion of a pardon, no crime to pardon from. So how does Esquire just make this up when they were called out on it? They published this. This story has been updated. An earlier version stated incorrectly that George Bush gave a pardon to his son. Esquire regrets that error. I mean, it's not like, a little error. It was the headline. Now, if you...
Editor's note.
Right. Editor's note. Whole story
the
is
whole
crap.
The whole story is garbage.
But it's there. Now, later they took down the entire story. This is what you would get if you looked it up. Now, see the author there? His name is Charles P. Pierce. In a turn of extreme irony, that person also wrote this book called Idiot America. According to the summaries, I have not read the book, it is about how Americans will just believe anything. So is he just testing us, or did he also use AI, or is he proof positive of an American idiot? I mean, there's no explanation. And as a journalist, sure, Clayton and I have made mistakes before, sure. But you have to explain yourself, or else people won't trust you.
No, it was just a social experiment thing that people do when they get caught doing something stupid. No, it was just a social experiment. I was just kidding.
Yeah, I read a whole book as an experiment, as a test to see if you caught on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. So he has not explained himself, so we don't know why he would do something quite so stupid. So is AI just unreliable, or we idiots, or both? I think probably both things are true. Just this week, a Stanford misinformation expert admitted that he used AI to draft a court document that contained multiple fake citations for AI in a case about AI. Get this, and how meta. He wrote this expert testimony. He charged the state of Minnesota $600 per hour to be their expert witness. But then it turns out that AI put two fake articles in the citations of his work, and the opposing counsel found it. And he was called out for it. He said, oh, sorry, I just didn't notice that AI had generated two hallucinated citations. But like, you don't check your own work? What if he's a professor of communications at Stanford? What if his students did this? You would hope that he would fail them. And so should he get away with something? So again, using AI, maybe you can use it to give you some clues. But you would think, like, even the Hunter DeBunce thing, this is the thing. You're putting something on Twitter and you're like, oh, I see that on Google, or I see it on AI. You know, I don't recall this Hunter DeBunce story. Maybe I should figure out, why was he pardoned? What's the story there? Maybe I should do a little more research. No, she just went with it full, like a bull in a china shop. And then saying this as a mic drop.
And then she blames ChatGPT and Twitter sleuths for calling her out. She's like, hey, Twitter sleuths, you might want to blame ChatGPT. Right. No, we're blaming you as an ABC News anchor, or an ABC News face, of information.
Right.
Right.
This didn't pass your own smell test. So what are we to think of your judgment now?
The whole DeBunce thing smells.
It smells. Yeah.
Smells. All right. We got more news to get to here on your Thursday. Congresswoman Nancy Mace is going to join us to talk about UFO disclosure. And I'm going to ask her, is she going to subpoena the members of the deep state in the CIA about UFO disclosures? We're seeing all of these sightings over the past 48 hours. I told my son last night, I'm like, you wouldn't believe, because he always asks me when we're like driving. He's like, Daddy, are there any like new UFO stories? And I'm like, are there? Holy smokes, son. This week it's been crazy.
Yeah.
Over military bases, over the home of federal agents in the United States, over nuclear bases in the United States, over the UK military bases. It's happening all over the place. What the hell's going on? We don't know. We'll ask Congresswoman Nancy Mace about that. But first,
we want to tell you about our show's sponsor over at Plurilock. They are a cybersecurity company because, of course, we are in an age where cybersecurity is at an all-time premium for your attention. In fact, Cybersecurity Ventures predicts the price tag of cybercrime damage will reach $10.5 trillion. That's per year by 2025, representing a 15% year-over-year growth since 2021. So to put that in perspective, if cybercrime were measured as a country, it would be the world's third largest economy after the US and China. But Plurilock has a whole family of protection for cybersecurity, including software engineering, advanced services, and IT solutions to public and private organizations around the globe. And in fact, they have over 30 years experience of doing this. They combine their longstanding expertise in in-house technology with leading products and services from across the industry to deliver end-to-end solutions. So check out if they can help you and your company. You can learn about their critical cybersecurity and IT solutions at plurilock.com. One more time, head on over to plurilock.com and tell them Redacted sent you. Again, protect yourself online. You guys, we talk about this all the time. See what their suite of products is and whether or not it can work for your company. Head on over to plurilock.com.
And also check out our description box below because we'll have some more information down there as well. Well, over the past few weeks, hundreds of eyewitnesses have now reported seeing large-size UFOs or drones, you can call them whatever you like, hovering for hours, not minutes, over parts of the United States, from Arizona to New Jersey to North Carolina, all across the United States. Many reports that these are hovering over military installations as well. And now we know that the FBI is actively investigating these UFOs. In fact, we just got word that these UFOs are now hovering over federal agents' homes. Listen.
Well, Will, one of the ships was in fact inspected by the Coast Guard and they couldn't find anything. The thing is that there were several other suspicious ships in the region that they never got to. And Will, it gets worse. Just a couple of months earlier, there were several mystery drone flights over our nuclear testing range in Nevada, just north of Las Vegas. And again, nothing was done. And it gets even worse. Some of the FBI agents that have been assigned to look into this have reported drones flying over their homes as if to say, hey, we know where you are.
Well, we wanted to bring in Representative Nancy Mace, who's been outspoken on this issue. She sits on a number of committees in the House of Representatives, the Committee on Oversight and Accountability, Committee on Armed Services, and the Committee on Veterans Affairs. And we wanted to welcome the Congresswoman on the show today. Nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So given the fact that we've seen a number of these large-scale incursions over the past few weeks, this is alarming, and now we're seeing it in the United Kingdom as well. Do you think the Pentagon, do you think the Biden administration is taking this seriously enough when we now got reports of these things hovering over federal agents' homes? What are you hearing, and what do you want the government to be doing about this?
Number one, regardless of the origin of these devices, this technology, these drones, whatever they are, this is a national security issue. And I can tell you, number one, Congress has not been briefed on it. So if the Pentagon or one of the three-letter agencies of the White House is observing these, is investigating them, we are not aware of any of that because we haven't been briefed on it. And when you look at the sites where some of these things are hovering, you really have to question their motive, why they're there, and how big of a national security threat is it, and then who is it? Why haven't they been shot down? Why don't we have these devices in our possession? Maybe we do, but it sure would be nice to know, and I sit on the House Armed Services Committee, it sure would be nice to know that we are watching our back and that we are protecting our nuclear sites, our military sites, government sites, et cetera.
And I haven't heard any reports of these being shot down. No eyewitness reports that I've heard from any of our sources. And the same thing in the United Kingdom. We do have video in the United Kingdom of apparently a helicopter incursion with these drones. And they're mimicking the helicopter. I mean, zipping up where the helicopter is trying to take evasive action. They're following and zipping right in the same pattern. If they are from Russia, if they are from China, then where's the mothership? How are large-scale drones just hovering over the United States? They have to return to something. It's shocking to me that you guys haven't been briefed on this. It's alarming.
And who would ever allow this? Like, if it's one of our adversaries, you know, to hell with it. We absolutely should shoot it down. We should know what kind of technology they're using. We should know what kind of data they're collecting on us and our allies. What are we doing about it? And it looks like nothing, just like the Chinese spy balloon. It was allowed to go all over these military and nuclear sites across the country. Finally got shot down off the coast of my home state after it traversed the entire United States, West Coast to East Coast. And, you know, how can we be taken seriously if we aren't taking our adversaries seriously, if that's what this is?
I mean, my mind also, I always look out for false flags. It's something we cover here on the show to make the American people aware of, you know, trying to deceive us, trick us into believing one thing, that there's a large scale alien invasion right now happening before President Trump takes office to try to bring us all together around martial law or something else. I know that's a big leap, but do you worry about that type of agenda before President Trump takes office on January 20th?
when you look at the psyop basically that's been done on the American people regarding Trump and the lawfare, nothing would surprise me anymore. These are people that have lied to our face, lied to the faces of every single American day in and day out, 24/7, 365 days a year. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Are they going to, are you hoping to have a UAP select committee with sort of church style hearings once a month? Maybe I'm projecting, but I would love for you guys in Congress to have once a month, we have these hearings, because each time you hold one of these, we get new revelations about reverse engineering of craft. We have these craft. Now we have biologics. That's an admission on the congressional record now. Yes, we have off-world vehicles. Yes, we have off-world biology. We have beings now in our possession in some capacity or in some research capacity in these deep state programs. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and one of the other things we learned at the last hearing is that we're compensating people for their injuries in some of these crash retrieval programs, which I find very interesting. So if the program doesn't exist, why are we paying people for their injuries incurred during working on the program that doesn't exist? Like, none of it. I'm not a mathematician, but it doesn't add up.
Do you hope that we'll have a select committee on this where we'll get these sort of monthly hearings?
I totally support a select committee in that endeavor. There's going to be a U.S. Senate hearing this month, I believe, on UAPs. I believe it's going to be next week. And so I support any kind of transparency, accountability, and disclosure in a select committee or any other. But also our committees and subcommittees of jurisdiction that do any national security work, we should be holding regular hearings within those subcommittees about this, because to me, it is a national security issue. No matter what you, if you're a skeptic or a believer, it doesn't matter. It is still a national security issue and should be treated that way.
Talking about these off the books programs, we've been focusing here on the show quite extensively. We've spoken to whistleblowers who've worked at the neutrino base in Antarctica. Of course, it was controlled by these military contractors down there. I think it's been transferred now to Raytheon. And so there's a lot of interest in what's going on in Antarctica. It's out of the United States, so we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to see video footage of it. Is there any concern? Have you talked to any members of Congress, any whistleblowers, anybody that's come forward to talk about concerns about what's been happening down in Antarctica?
One of the rumors that we've heard on the Hill, both in the hearing that I held a few weeks ago and the hearing with David Grush last year, is that the government uses private contractors to skirt the law, to skirt the Constitution, to skirt disclosure, to skirt the requirement to inform members of Congress, White House, et cetera. And so if this is a continuation of that, then it's deeply concerning that it would be happening and that we should call in. I mean, I would love to see us call in the contractors that are allegedly involved and find out what's actually been happening, what's been going on, and who's hiding what from whom and what agencies. Because is this a case where, you know, maybe the DOD knows something, FBI or CIA or DNI knows something, and the White House is kept in the dark? Like, where is the strategy here and who's in charge? Because it's not the people, nor Congress.
Right. Well, I would love to share with you off camera, if you'd like, the whistleblowers who worked at the base in Antarctica.
We would love to hear that, get that information, that data, and protect them by all means necessary.
Are you going to subpoena anyone from the CIA or anyone who might be involved in these deep state programs as part of perhaps a select committee or otherwise?
That is not on the docket yet. I've not heard my colleagues discussing that. But again, I am open to disclosure in any way, shape, or form that we can. You have a right to know how your tax dollars are being used. Even if we can't know every detail to every program for national security reasons, at the very minimum, we should know what programs exist and how that money is being used and who's in charge of it. And when are we getting the report? When are we going to, because we know we've been lied to by the federal government many times over.
I know you've been frustrated with the Pentagon. So here you are in Congress trying to get answers. You're not getting answers on, they were supposed to be moving in parallel with you to be investigating this. Where does that stand from the Pentagon side?
Yeah, well, we had a report come out earlier this year from a federal agency, the Aero agency, looking at UAPs and UFOs and debunking what's real and what's not and all that sort of thing. And they said zero accounts of UAPs and UFOs are unknown, which is just, it's flat out, it's never going to be zero. Because even if you're a skeptic, there's going to be some sensor that malfunctions. you know it's never zero, scientifically, statistically. So you know right off the bat you're being lied to. And of course, you know, I've seen memos now that are declassified between the Pentagon and between the FBI, for example, that several decades ago where they were talking about a crash retrieval program and the FBI would help the Pentagon, but only if they got access to the crashed craft and share that information, because previously the DOD was hiding it from the FBI. So, you know, we know that there were some agencies that were fighting over who got access to the information and the data. Going back decades. And so it's really important that we have full disclosure, at least with members of Congress, and know where the money's going, because they're spending a lot of money on these programs.
Yeah, that's stunning. And of course, we had the big audit, right, of the
and they can't pass an audit. Like, they've never passed an audit. Seven audits, they've never passed one.
I mean, if I was running my business that way, I would have been out. There's just no way I would have been out of business immediately. It's unbelievable to me that we're missing $1 trillion and the American people are supposed to sit there and just sort of take that. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. It's disgusting. And because they're in charge and they're better than the government, they're better than the people, they get away with it year over year and nothing ever changes. That's why we need full disruption on the Hill with Donald Trump's nominees. We need people to just turn the place upside down, get rid of the bureaucrats, get rid of the bureaucracy, get rid of the establishment, and start over.
I'll get you out of here in a second, Congresswoman. But, you know, on what I hear from my audience all the time, and I know just talking to my friends and whistleblowers that I speak to, the biggest frustration is, whether it's Lou Elizondo or others, they would love for this information to be able, like photos, videos, to be presented. Mm-hmm. I would love for Congresswoman Nancy Mace to hold up a giant poster board during one of these hearings. And show.
I want an alien body on a gurney. I want the non-human biologics on a gurney and roll it into an oversight hearing. That's what, you know, that's what people want to see. We don't have that information. We don't have that evidence. But if it exists, I'm sure as hell going to try to find it.
Yeah, maybe start in Ohio, you know, and the stonewalling members of Congress who want to keep what's hidden at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base hidden from all of us, right? Like, start there. I'd love for them to have to bring that forward, but they won't, because they're corrupt and they will try to stonewall and keep it from us. I'll get you out of here on this, Congresswoman, which is, how are you feeling about the Trump administration? We talk about transparency. We want these files open. We've heard from President-elect Trump that he wants these files open, whether it's the JFK files or others. Full transparency. Are you confident that his cabinet appointments and the incoming Trump administration will be able to do that? Or are you seeing deep state forces that are already trying to thwart that?
Well, my thoughts are two-pronged. Number one, I think that Trump has the opportunity and will be the most transparent president in United States history. That's number one. I believe he deeply, based on his public comments, desires, wants that to happen. My second part of that, to answer the question, is that I am deeply concerned about the deep state. We're already seeing Trump's nominees slowly get picked off one by one over in the U.S. Senate, people that don't hold up his agenda, they don't believe in the Trump mandate, and are going to hurt and not allow his nominees to become cabinet members. And so we're seeing that in real time right now. It's disturbing. And I worry about the deep state and Washington, business as usual, the establishment, getting in the way of what will be the most successful president in U.S. history.
Well, I certainly hope President Trump is able to come in and be able to release some of these files and be transparent and open. It's just, my concern is that there are all these deep state forces that are in Washington that are actively trying to, they're like leeches, you know, they're like those moray eels or whatever. They're trying to gather and get onto the Trump administration right now and do whatever they can to kind of thwart this. How confident are you that his cabinet appointees will go through?
Well, I'm very nervous about it. He has great appointees. We've already seen one get dispatched by the Senate, and I'm worried about another this week. And I think that they'll do anything that they can to stop him. And we're watching it live. It's one of the reasons he had such a winning mandate in November. People want his nominees, but there's a deep state and establishment that will stop him at all costs.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace, great to see you. Thank you so much. Thank you for keeping up the good fight on this. And we will share our whistleblower contacts with you, and hopefully they'll be able to put that on the congressional record about what's happening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to see her. Thank you so much, Congresswoman. Appreciate you joining us on the show. Thank you so much for what she does. All right, we've got more news to get to. There's a color revolution about to unfold in the country of Georgia. Yes, the Biden administration, the CIA, the deep state absolutely is trying to thwart the election there. They're not supporting the current leadership there because guess what? They're more, I guess, aligned with Trump than they are with the NATO message. So we're going to go to Georgia in just a moment to find out what's happening there and why we should all care about that. But first, you know, we're talking about making America great again and Trump's cabinet picks just a moment ago with Congresswoman Mace. And there's a lot of hope, right, that this cabinet could come in. RFK Jr. could stir things up. We got the Doge team of Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy could stir things up significantly and take $2 trillion off of our national spend, hopefully. But we have big concerns about that. But they should not take their eye off the ball because they still have to face massive debt. $36 trillion in debt. Biden's terrible foreign policies that are leading us into World War III, whether it's in Iran or against Russia right now. The cost of groceries for all of you, the basic cost of all of that, still going through the roof right now for most Americans. That's why they lost the election, by the way, because of the economy, stupid. And that's why we believe that you should make sure your family is protected and you're investing in things that will protect your family. And we're big advocates of making sure that some of your U.S. dollars are in precious metals, not in U.S. dollars, because it's being devalued. You know, friend of the show, Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, big advocate for gold and silver, making sure that you're owning precious metals as part of your portfolio. And our friends at Lear Capital can help you with that. All you need to do is go to LearRedacted.com, and you can actually get their report right now, free information, no obligation at all, about their gold and silver wealth protection guides. Like, if you've got $100 in the bank, how can you convert that over to precious metals? And the way that I look at gold and silver is that it's great that there's projections that's going to go over $3,000 an ounce. That's great. That's not why Natalie and I actually own gold and silver. We do it just to make sure that our family is protected, right? Because when you have a U.S. dollar that's being devalued, every government currency in world history has collapsed, every one of them. So why would the U.S. dollar be any different? Do you want your family's future tied to that? That's why we're big advocates of owning real estate, owning gold and silver. And so their guide can actually walk you through what that wealth protection looks like just by going to their website or giving them a call. Call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Speak to them on the phone. They're an American company. They're not going to get outsourced to India on the phone. You're going to talk to an American. Tell them you heard about them from Redacted. Just speak to them and learn about it. Or go to LearRedacted.com, and you can also find out how to receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. So call our friends today, 1-800-613-3557 for your free guide. All right. You into it? You feeling good? We have to talk about the country of Georgia. So a lot of big moving things are happening right now in the country of Georgia. It appears that the Biden administration, the deep state, is trying to pull back on some of its efforts to thwart an election process there. But now, they're actually putting protesters. So when you see like reports in the mainstream media, in the Western media about freedom fighters and protesters there, pay attention to where these people come from, right? They often come from out of country. They're often being used and utilized by the United States and the CIA to basically foment a color revolution. So I sat down and spoke just yesterday with Victor Hugo Vaca, who is in Georgia right now. And he says the Americans are being lied to about what's happening in that country. The Western media is lying to you as usual. And here is that interview. Well, the country of Georgia is about to explode or is currently exploding. And if you live in the Western media hemisphere, of course, you're going to be lied to about what's happening there. It's reminiscent of what happened in Kiev in 2014 when the warmongers and the CIA got their hands on that country in Ukraine, fomented a coup. Is the same thing happening right now in Georgia? Let's ask investigative journalist Victor Hugo Vaca Jr., who is in that region of the world and knows it very, very well. Victor Hugo, welcome to the show. Nice to see you. Welcome to Redacted for the first time.
Likewise, Clayton. Thanks for the good work that you're doing and getting the truth out to the public during this information war, which is on steroids. What they're showing the world is theater. They're doing what they did in the United States during the George Floyd riots, paying Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the same thing with the January 6th, where the feds were in there trying to make think that the United States was falling apart. I can assure you, living here as a veteran American refugee who's been here for 5 years now, after escaping China 2 hours before the last border closed on the day that the Wuhan virus whistleblower Dr. Li Wenliang died, this country is not falling apart. This country is actually showing the world the example of how a small country, not in land-wise, it's quite big, the mountains are here, the Black Sea is here, it's a strategic point between Africa, the Middle East, and the EU. That's why this country is so important. It's bordering Russia, it's bordering Turkey, it's bordering Azerbaijan and Armenia. So China is here building their Belt and Road Initiative. But as opposed to the United States that uses U.S. taxpayer dollars to have the CIA infiltrate countries and bully them into either doing what the EU wants, or the EU and the United States are both controlled by the central banks. And what's happening now is the euro is about to collapse and the dollar is also about to collapse. Really not telling people this, but the fact of the matter is both currencies, which are debt slavery, run their course. So you see what's happening with BRICS, you see what's happening with the cryptocurrencies. People are realizing now that there's alternatives. And so what the central bankers that fuel all the wars, they're now fueling insurgents here to try to make it seem on the world stage, from the BBC to Sky News to the news in the United States, that somehow there's all sorts of mayhem going on here. I can assure you, walking the streets and speaking to the people here, that is not the case. You're watching theater. I'm not saying that people aren't getting hurt. I'm not saying that there isn't any sort of graffiti and stuff going on like that, but that's theater. They want you to think that there's unrest here. They're trying to poke the bear, which is Russia. Russia doesn't want to invade this place. Russia doesn't need to invade this place. If they wanted to, they would have done it a long time ago. The same thing with Ukraine. Like you said earlier, Ukraine was a color revolution. They were defending themselves. The Russians are defensive. They're not offensive. They're not looking to invade the United States, and China's not looking to invade the United States. This small country has been told by the United States and by the EU that the election that they just had here, October 23rd or 26th, I believe, needs to be a recount, that it wasn't done properly. Right. Now, there's a puppet who is in there right now, who's the president, and she's refusing to step down, as the Biden administration claimed that they were going to do, which now they're not going to do. But if that happens here, what may happen to this woman is what happened to Saakashvili, the previous president, who was seen on television eating his tie because he realized he was a puppet of the United States, the CIA, and he knew he couldn't fight up against the Russians. The United States can't take on the Russians. This country of less than 3 million people is going to take on the Russians? I don't think so. So what would happen then is she would probably get arrested. Yeah, there would be unrest, but these elections were lawful. They were done right. They were paper ballot elections. And not only that, but the party that's claiming that there was unfair elections, they only have 30% of the population, if that much. So this other winning party got over 55% of the votes. Even if they did a recount, you still wouldn't be, the numbers don't match up. So again, this is just a charade that the U.S. taxpayers, unfortunately, are paying for. And yeah, I was talking to the people today, the young ones, and they're under the illusion that if they become part of the EU, they get money. And that's how the U.S. and the EU are dangling in front of these people who, on average, their salary per month is $350. That's 1,000 gel, or Larry, as they call it. Now, imagine $350 trying to survive on that in the U.S. But the reason why these people are able to do it is because they have large families. This is an Orthodox Christian country. They support each other. The mother, the grandmother, the father, the uncle, everybody lives together in a house. And so that's how they're able to afford it. But the United States has cut off the funding for these people because they're not playing along with the U.S.'s game. And so they're trying to call it a Russian situation, but that's not the case. This government has rightfully so noticed that the United States and the EU have been using money to put propaganda on the television. And they passed a law recently saying that if you're going to be an NGO or a country like the US or the EU, you have to show, if you're doing over 20%, where this money's coming from. That's good. That just makes sense. So these people are fighting for their right to be a republic.
You know, tracking where all this money is coming from. The United States has a long history of fomenting color revolutions, funneling money and resources into trying to carry out coups in these different countries. So to our United States audience watching this right now, money is coming from the United States, resources, in order to try to upend and create a coup in a democratically elected government, right?
Yes, well, this government is a republic, just as the United States of America was once a republic, but most people don't realize. Right now, the United States is a corporation. And so the people are not living under a constitutional republic in the United States. They are, however, living as a constitutional republic here in Georgia. And this is an experiment that is learning from the mistakes that the United States has made, because this country emancipated itself after the fall of the Soviet Union. These people have been through wars, and they are rebuilding. This is a nation where U.S. aid is and the Peace Corps are at. And when those two places are in anywhere, you realize that it is a developing nation. However, what a lot of people don't know is that USAID and the Peace Corps are infiltrated by the CIA. That is their inroad that they use, along with NGOs, where they promise these downtrodden people help from the United States. But what they do then is they use the Peace Corps, USAID, and the U.S. embassies to fill them with spies. This is a den of spies here. What's interesting is the CIA spies that they send here and the mercenaries, because this is close to the Ukraine and this is where the U.S. has been training the mercenaries, you see them. They stand out like sore thumbs. These people look like cowboys. They also have a lot of these spies or these mercenaries in other parts of this area. And then they've been fighting in the Ukraine for the longest time, which is unlawful. It's illegal. The United States is not supposed to be fighting in the war in the Ukraine, but yet they still have, they even have Navy SEALs there.
What do you want the American people, what do you want the world to know about what's happening in Georgia right now?
It's basically exactly what they tried to do in Kiev with the Ukraine. The United States taxpayer, their funds are going to pay these CIA and these mercenaries and these NGOs to incite violence in this peaceful country, which doesn't want war with Russia. They're not going to be able to beat Russia because Russia's just too big. And that would mean the United States or NATO would have to come in here. And that's the equivalent of putting Russia and China on the Mexican border with Texas. So that's not going to fly. Russia's not going to allow. And this small country, they don't want that trouble. They really don't. They just want to live a peaceful existence. But the United States is trying to force them into a war. And it's a distraction from what's really going on in Palestine. And the other thing I want the my brothers and sisters, who right now I call the United Slaves of America, to understand is to don't live with fear. These people, they're small country, but they're rising up. And they will storm Parliament, not for this nonsense that this country needs to start doing the diversity, equity, and inclusivity and the immigration, which the president, the Prime Minister of England today admitted that it was an experiment and that it was a mistake. So what's happening here, they're not telling you on the news, it's not that it's not just because the US and EU are telling to recount their votes for the election, but primarily because this country has noticed what a failure the immigration and open borders has been, not only in the United States, but also in the EU and the UK. And so they've said, we were supposed to have negotiations with the EU to enter in 2025. But you know what? We don't like what we're seeing right now. So we're going to wait until 2028. And that's what incited this thing. So these people are smart enough to know, hey, you know what? We're seeing what's happening. The US is not what it used to be, and neither is the EU or the UK. So let's just take a while. It's like if you meet a girl, Clayton, or anybody out there, and she looks great at first, but then you find out, you know what? She's got herpes. And you're like, whoa, I was going to ask you to marry me, but let's hold off on this for a minute. You know, I mean, maybe I should wait before getting married to you. So that's, the world is realizing the United States and the EU have herpes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a frightening thought, but you're absolutely right about that. And all sorts of other communicable diseases that the United States loves to spread. Victor, great to see you. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for joining us from Georgia. That's a mouthful to say, but great to have you here on the show. I appreciate the perspective.
Clayton, I want to again commend you for what you're doing. You're being watched all over the world. Don't go by the fake numbers. They're shadow banning you, and they're making it seem like you have less of an audience, but you are making an impact. And all those other truth tellers out there, don't be afraid. Don't let them silence you. We are winning. And I can tell we're winning because I'm on the outside looking in, and they're seeing what a disaster this policy has been. And it's going to get better, people. It's going to be pretty hard. So you got to hang in there. You've got to be strong. But most of all, you've got to be united. You've got to be united. And that's what I'm seeing with these people, is the unity that they have. And it's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Victor. So that was Victor Hugo Vaca in the country of Georgia. Don't fall for the color revolution that's happening right there, right now. The thing is, like, you guys are educated. You watch our show. You guys read books. You guys are tapped into this. But there's so many Americans who just have no idea. They'll tune on, like, turn on CNN, or they'll read the New York Times, and they'll be wildly uninformed about these types of stories. And they'll see, you know, they'll read like little snippets about it when they don't understand that the United States, the Biden administration, and the deep state are actively working to undermine this country in the same way that Susan Power from USAID was in Hungary trying to undermine that country. That's what we do. That's exactly what we've done in Ukraine. And, you know, it's like the Mark Twain line about, you know, a lie can travel halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put on its pants. So then this lie gets spread, gets pushed all over the place. And then it's incumbent upon independent media and other journalists to try to walk it back and explain that this was all a lie, like the chemical attacks in Syria. And of course, you know, debunking what the White Helmets did there and all of that. So thank you guys for tuning in and being a part of our show in that way. We really appreciate it. That way you can post this on social media and share it with people when the legacy media attempts to lie to you like they're going to. All right, we're going to do some super chats and some Rumble rants here on this Thursday. Thank you all for subscribing and being a part of our show. Great to see the tens of thousands of you here from around the world. We really appreciate it. Let us know where you're joining us from. If you guys are in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, let us know where you're joining us from today. But first, I'm excited about this, okay? I want to introduce you to Republican Red Winery. Check this out. They've got a whole bunch of different wines, patriotic wines, bottled and made right here in the United States. American made, from the bottle to the grapes themselves, embodying the values that our great nation stands for. You can raise a toast to our nation's values with their exceptional lineup of red wines and white wines. Look at this. They've got the Drain the Swamp wine. Their best seller is their 45-47 Pinot Noir, a tribute to the 45th president and soon to be the 47th president of the United States. And it's not just a good red wine. It's a symbol of resilience in the hope for our nation's future. They also have their Second Amendment Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a bold, robust, unapologetically American. Perfect Christmas gift for somebody in your family. I mean, this is like a perfect gift, or you can get a few of them as like a mix and match, or buy them for your own like Christmas dinner, you know, something that pairs good with like whatever you're making on Christmas dinner. What are you guys making on Christmas dinner? Are you guys doing like a turkey or a ham or seafood or something like that? You'll find something for each occasion. They also have the Drain the Swamp Chardonnay, which is crisp and refreshing. They really, really love the white wine. It's fantastic, by the way. So right now, Black Friday sales still in full swing. If you go to RepublicanRed.com, they get 5% off of every order. And if you get more than four bottles, you'll receive free shipping plus an additional 5% off. So that's 10% off total. If you get six bottles, you benefit from free shipping and a 15% off. And then if you get 12 bottles, take advantage of their free shipping along with an impressive 25% off. Visit RepublicanRed.com today to explore their full range of patriotic wines. Together, let's make wine great again. I love that. Thank you guys for supporting the show. All right, let's do some Rumble Rants. I'm going to open those up here because David's audio is gone for some reason. So let me see if I can pull these up somehow.
He must like live in the tail of a comet.
He does. I don't know how to now. Okay, if I go to account overview, is that how I find them? Okay, December 5th. I see a few here, I think, right? No, I don't see them. Oh, wait, maybe here they are. December 5th. Jay Fontes. I'm glad I read this one. Thank you, Jay Fontes on Rumble says, just wear a mask and you can't catch or spread herpes. Not medical advice. Thank you, Jay Fontes. Oh, yeah. Trip Switch says, don't forget to get your sweet redacted gear at redactedstore.com. That's right. If you go to redactedstore.com, we've got a whole bunch of new gear, by the way. Should we show it? Should we show our new gear? You guys have been asking for it. Here it is. Here's our new gear at redactedstore.com. And it's really fantastic. I think we've got the new shirts and everything you can see. There we go. Here we go. We've got the End the Fed t-shirt, which we just rolled out. I just ordered mine, so you'll be seeing that. I'll be wearing that one soon. Truth Bold Brood, also, which is our hoodies and shirts and all of that. War is not a business model. Oh, it is for like the legacy media, like the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN. It certainly is, but not for us. Don't fall for the propaganda and lies. That's a great one as well. You can find that and more. Those are our new designs. Go to redactedstore.com. You can check those out over there. Jay Fontes says, referring to Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who was on our show, says the great state of South Carolina is the state perennially granted the most federal defense dollars of all 50 states every year. Is that true? I think I didn't know that. That's interesting. Didn't you know it was a game? 20 points for bombing Iraq. Oh, yeah. Referring to the New York Times. Watt Adams says, didn't you know it's a game? 20 points for bombing Iraq, 30 points for bombing Iran, and you get an extra 50 points if you bomb someone at the border. There we go.
Maybe that's it. Maybe you have to bomb North Korea before your opponent gets to 20 points.
Right.
Otherwise, you lose the game. Maybe that's why.
That's how it works.
They had to bomb them before it was too late.
That's how it works, I guess. I'm trying to read these. It's weird. It's like they don't give you the full read of them here. Pinochet's Helicopter Tours is the name of the screen name. Pinochet's Helicopter Tours. Or live in a lawless society where the elites and corrupt feds get pardons and never get held accountable. Yeah, that's right. It's not President Biden signing any pardons. If it's not President Biden signing any pardons, someone else, such as the babysitter Jill. None of these are lawful orders of the executive of the United States, of the executive chief of of the United States of America. Intrigued logician says David may want to add some color to his wardrobe. I thought it was just a floating head there for a second. Yeah, David's he's having all kinds of trouble in his studio. I don't know what's going on over there, but it's funny. He lectures me about internet speeds. Because he's got this like incredible internet speeds and all of this stuff. But then he ends up having trouble in his studio like once a week. So maybe it's, yeah. I don't know, it's karma.
I just sit here in my, what is it, like Luddite box and, oh, Luddite, sorry, Luddite box, and I don't have any problems.
Heads up, mainstream media.
I don't have 3/4 of my house hooked up to the internet either, so. There's also that.
David does. Even his toilet's hooked up to the internet. Dave Arrico says, heads up, mainstream media put out an article about the tsunami and earthquake 3 hours before it happened. Now it's gone. Neutrino detector. Is that true? Wow. Okay, it's been a busy morning around here. I didn't see that. So they put out an article, or MSN.com put out, I thought it was mainstream media, MSN.com put out an article about the tsunami and earthquake 3 hours before it happened, and now it's gone? I'll have to look into that. Interesting. Thank you for that, Dave Arrico, for your $10 Rumble rant. Thank you, Crypto. So that was from yesterday. Okay, let's do your super chats now. David, you can, or Grim, you can throw those up on the JXPAT. Biden, the only way to save myself is starting World War III. Yeah, or, all of these deep state swamp rats that work for him, that's how they can save it. All right. Lawman Land. Here's your manuscript, Lawman Land. My manuscript, First World Before the Flood. Community Chapter 34 and 35, my manuscript, Azov from Ukraine to USA. So apparently Lawman Land has a manuscript or a book. Constantine, please investigate Romanian elections. Okay, thank you. I will look into that. Our Health says Caitlin Johnstone needs to acknowledge that it is the deep state using the U.S. military machine and not actually the United States people. Right. True. It's not you and me, but we are being used by the propagandists at the mainstream media, the legacy media. They're using us and they prey on us. That's exactly what they do. Owen Powell. I love the J. Fox mask and the I Will Not Comply redacted hat in your thumbnail. That's amazing. Is the deep state trying to Holocaust Ukrainians? Good question. Well, they certainly want them to fight to the last Ukrainian, so they don't really want them there. F. Joe Biden says, send Fauci to the international court with all the evidence we have on him. Cut loose and cut him loose and take his security away from him. Yeah, because aren't taxpayers still paying for all of his security as well? Constantine says, please investigate Romanian elections. Biden tries a coup d'etat here. All institutions are involved in the campaign to try to stop an independent candidate to win. Thank you for that. Once again, another undermining of an election. Canada is set to announce new gun bans. Over 300 new firearms to be banned under new legislation happening right now. We'll follow up on that story next week. D. Owen Powell says, let the legislators go bare knuckles. Maybe we can get our money's worth. Wouldn't it be amazing to watch them duke it out in Congress? I would love that. It'd be great. Something tells me that I could tell you certain people that wouldn't win in a fight there. Bobby Gems says, the Washington Post as well as the New York Times. Kevin Ship, ex-CIA, said they were one of the first in Operation Mockingbird. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know, FBI agents have told me this, that they... if they want to leak a story, a fake story, a deep state story, out and push it out, they go to the New York Times and the Washington Post. And of course, CBS News was actively involved in that back a number of years ago. But yeah, newspapers, the New York Times and the Washington Post are just literally mouthpieces of the deep state and intelligence community. Absolutely. Bobby Gem says, is it safe to trust alternative media? Would the CIA really let go of the fourth branch of government that they control? Is it safe to trust alternative media? Well, I would encourage you to watch my interview with Tucker Carlson from last week. We talked about this. I asked him, what is he nervous about when it comes to journalism right now? And I thought his answer was pretty interesting. He said his biggest concern was that just watch the interview, but he specifically said with some conservative media, alternative media, his concern was that they had been paid by certain people during the campaign, that they had received money and didn't disclose that. And I said that's troubling. And I didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to name names and he didn't mention names specifically. But how would you guys feel about like a super PAC, like a, you know, a Kamala Harris super PAC paying off one of these like left-wing alternative channels and finding out that like Kamala Harris had like paid them and they didn't tell you, right? Like if you watch, and the same thing true on the Trump side, like if there was a Republican super PAC or something like that, that paid, you know, an alternative media host or something or a team or whatever, would that bother you? It would bother me. Well, we would never accept it, but you know, that would bother me and I would want them to disclose that, especially if they were purporting to be journalists, right? Now commentators, maybe that's different. I don't know. I mean, but so I don't know. You have to be, I think you have to. Well, the thing is, what we always say on this show is do all your own research. Like we'll present you with the stories and facts that as we find them. And then you go and dig deep on your own, you know, and double check it and triple check it and look at alternative sources. So, you know, we never want to be like the truth stops right here. You know, you can go home now. You don't ever have to check anything. Like, we want you to be educated and look into things yourself. That's kind of our mantra here. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby's Gem says, are your teeth just perfect? Are they veneers? I think you're probably talking about Natalie, but no, I mean, I had braces back in the day and, you know, the whole thing. So it's probably Natalie. They're not veneers, by the way. Mind of Tron says, always D-Y-O-R. Doesn't matter where the info comes from. Do your own research. Yes, 100%. Do your own research. Always. Travis says, just announced Canadian firearms to be confiscated and sent to Ukraine. Wouldn't surprise me. World War III has already started, sadly, divorced homeless says. World. Yes, it has. I mean, do you guys think it started? I mean, when Americans have been killed in Ukraine, Americans and NATO forces are firing into Russia and killing Russians. What do you consider that then? Just like a fun, kind of like fun paintball outing?
Well, I mean,
like, what is that?
And it really gets to be like, it really gets to be how you define it, because like if the U.S. is involved in like five simultaneous wars, even though we haven't declared them through Congress, does that constitute a world war, or is that just, is there like, what is that? How do you define it? I feel like we've been in world war since the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like maybe you're right. Right. We're in like nine different wars right now. So like, when does it rise to the level of world war? I don't know. Do we just want to keep spending money with the military-industrial complex and agitating for war? Is that how we do it? Arthur says, hey, less mic moving and table pounding today. It'll be easier to listen to you. Still need some isolating mics that are just now pretty loud booming. Sorry. I know sometimes we pound on the desk. I apologize. And we move around a lot, and sometimes I got to move the microphone, and I apologize. I apologize. Travis says, Clayton, that wasn't a joke. It was just announced on CPAC that they're sending our confiscated guns to Ukraine. Oh, Canada. Old Combat Vet says the aliens wrote a book, How to Serve Mankind. It's a cookbook. Yeah, that is a joke. That is a joke. Time to deport all non-native aliens. Non-native aliens. Well, that's about to happen, starting January 20th. Vilma Thomas, thank you for your $2 super chat. I appreciate it. Maddie England says, invest everything in Siamese cats. I don't know if that's a good investment, Siamese cats. Are they back in favor? Brad Gilbert, $5. U.S. contractors had to follow goof rules, but never the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or government policies will accept to worship their deity, their DEI deity. Yeah. I like that deity. Keith Grant, Yorkshire Rose on YouTube as reported on Illegal Immigrant Hotel in UK. This hotel has a lot of Georgians fighting age men in it. Why? Why in the UK? Our Georgian fighting age men there. Catherine Gagne, thanks for all you do. I was really missing the team when you guys were on your Thanksgiving break. I tried to make a comment, but YouTube wouldn't take it. Not sure which word I used. I tried several versions, but it was a no-go. Thank you, Catherine from Canada. Yeah, I mean, there's massive YouTube censorship. They ban comments all the time. They censor comments all the time. So I don't know what flags, what YouTube censors allow and what they don't. So thank you. This one got through, though. Thank you, Catherine. I appreciate it. Fern Folks says, hey, redacted, the slow mode is stopping me from posting. They say, wait a minute. So I do, and they still take off my chat. How does the slow mode work? I mean, because if we didn't have slow mode turned on our YouTube chat, you wouldn't be able to read any of them. The comments would fly by so fast, no one would be able to read anything. So I think we have the slow mode on just so people can actually read them. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's why it's on. I mean, we turn it on every day. It's just because like people that are complaining about that weren't here in the early days when it just ran by at Mach 3 and you couldn't read anything. You might as well not even have chat at how fast it went by.
Yeah. And I think, is that it? Oh, understandable. Hard to turn down minions. Mayans. And is that it?
And that's it. That's it.
All right, everyone. Thank you guys for an amazing week. We are live Monday through Thursday here on Redacted. Thank you guys for subscribing, being a part of our great community here. We've got a lot of big interviews lined up for you over the next couple of weeks that we're going to be sharing with you as we head into the holiday season. So thank you guys for being a part of our community here. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you back here on Monday live. But again, we'll have content for you throughout the weekend as well. Have a great night, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at redacted.inc. Check out our store at redactedstore.com. And we'll see you back here on Monday. Bye, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.